all of your children. Last Sunday afternoon, we had the memorial service for her son, Jed, here in our Truett Chapel. I will never forget this as long as I live. We were sitting there and we were singing that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And as we were singing that hymn, seated there in those pews, suddenly Linnell stood to her feet with her arms raised toward God. What a testimony. What a testimony. I'll tell you something. If you sit down and talk to Linnell today, I'll tell you what she won't talk to you about. She's not obsessing about where she's going to spend her next vacation. She's not talking about any additions she's going to make to her home. She's not talking about her investment portfolio. There's one thing Linnell's thinking about right now, and that's heaven. That's being where God is. That's where her treasure is. The Bible says when you go through tribulations as a Christian, God has a way of using those trials to hammer out anything that's not like Christ and to fix your hope on the assurance of eternity. That's why we can rejoice as Christians. It gives us consolation in present suffering. But not only that, I want you to notice this. A right relationship with God gives you the assurance of eternal salvation. Verses 6 through 11, this section is probably one of the greatest sections in all of the Bible about the assurance we have of our salvation. You know, there are some people who would say, well, I believe, yes, it's through Christ's death on the cross for me that I have eternal life, but what if I quit believing? What if I fall into sin? Does my status change from friend of God back to enemy of God? Do I go from being a child of God, being a child of Satan? Do I lose my salvation? Such a question is an important one. But it's a question that fails to take into account not only what Christ did for us, but when he did it for us. And that's what Paul points out here. Look at verses 6 to 8. For while we were helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. I want you to notice when it is that Christ died for you and me. It's while we were helpless. That is, we were completely incapable of doing anything to earn God's approval. Not only that, he uses in verse 6 the phrase or the word, we were ungodly. That's when Christ died for us, when we were ungodly. That word ungodly doesn't mean just to be unlike God. The prefix un means against. Apart from Christ, you and I are against God. One commentator says, we, apart from Christ, are so against God that if we had the power to, we would drag God off of his throne and destroy him. That's how much we are against the true God of the Bible, apart from Christ. But notice, it is at that time that Christ died for us. Verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were helpless, ungodly, sinners, that is when Christ died for us. Notice in verse 7, he says, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. You know, we preacher types, we have this little arsenal of illustrations we use. You've probably heard them 1,000 times, all of them. But there's one we use to try to demonstrate exactly how much Christ loved us in order to die for us. I know you've heard the story before. It's about this little girl, 10 years old, with a rare blood disease. She needs a transfusion desperately. Time is of the essence, and so they can only find one person who has the right blood type to provide the transfusion, and it's her 6-year-old brother. So the doctor explains to him about what the transfusion will involve and asks him if he's willing to do this for his sister. He says yes. And so after the transfusion is finished successfully, the doctor patted the little boy on the shoulder and said, thank you for doing this. And the boy looks up at the doctor and says, doctor, how long before I die? See, he thought the transfusion would result in his death. But he was willing to die for his sister because he was a part of her family, and she loved him. And people say, well, that's a good illustration of what Christ did for us. No, it's really not a good illustration. You see, it's one thing for a little boy to be willing to die for somebody he's related to, for somebody who loves him. But Christ did not die for us when we were a part of his family. He didn't die for us when we were overflowing with love for him. No, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that's when Christ died for us. Not when we loved him, when we hated God, God was still willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. You say, what does that have to do with the assurance of our salvation? Everything. Look at verses 9 and 10. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Listen to this. If God was willing to reach down and save you when you hated him, when you were against him, don't you think now that you're his friend, he's going to keep you saved? I mean, if God alone has the power to save you, isn't it true that God alone has the power to keep you saved? That's what Paul is saying here. The reason we have assurance of our relationship, of our eternal salvation, is because we're in a right relationship with God. Look at what God did for you when he was your enemy. How much more is he going to do for you now that you are his friend? See, the problem we all have is we think God is like us. We love only people who are lovable. And we only keep loving people who keep loving us. If somebody stops loving us, we move away from them. But aren't you grateful God is not like us? God loves us with an everlasting love. As the hymn writer said, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. That's the kind of love with which God loves you.
As followers of Jesus, we don't need to worry about our standing before God because he's already declared his everlasting love. The assurance of our salvation should bring peace to our hearts every single day. This is just one of the rich theological treasures found in Paul's letter to the Romans. Tragically, people across our great country are not receiving this truth in their churches. Many pastors have abandoned the orthodox teaching of God's unconditional love. Not long ago, we received a comment from a viewer in Arizona who said, Pastor Jeffers, for the past few years, it's really been a sad experience for me when going to church on Easter. This past Easter, I was feeling under the weather, so I decided to stay home and watch Pathway to Victory on television. Pastor, you spoke about the real reason for Easter and what God did for us through his resurrection. I haven't heard a message like that, a truth-filled message, in a long time. It restored my faith in the truth. Friends, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, God is using your generosity to reach viewers like this one. And as a financial partner with us, you're providing the fuel that allows us to bring bold biblical teaching to listeners and viewers, not only across our great nation, but all over the world. To express my thanks for your gift today, I'd like to send you the reference book I mentioned earlier. It's called An Illustrated Guide to the Apostle Paul, along with a multi-folded brochure. It's called The Journeys of Paul Map. These two reference tools will open your eyes to Paul's historic missionary travels and what they mean to your life today. David?
Thanks, Dr. Jeffers. To request your very own copy of An Illustrated Guide to the Apostle Paul, simply give us a call at 866-999-2965. A copy is yours when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. As an added bonus, we're going to include the new and exclusive Journeys of Paul map. Again, call 866-999-2965 or make your request online at ptv.org. And when your gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive the Grace-Powered Living teaching series on audio and video discs, highlighting chapters 1 through 8 of the Book of Romans. But there are only a few days left to take advantage of this offer, so get in touch right away. To request the book, the map, and the teaching set, call 866-999-2965 or visit online at ptv.org. You could send your donation by mail. Here's the address: P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. Again, that's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins. At the beginning of the world, one bad choice by Adam and Eve condemned the entire human race. But next time, we'll discover how Jesus Christ reversed the effects of our transgression. Join us Thursday for Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas.
Thanks for listening to Pathway to Victory. This program relies on your prayer and financial support. You can call them at 866-999-2965. And when you do, make sure to mention our call letters, WJMM.
We love to make you a winner. Stay up to date on all of our latest promotions and concert and ticket giveaways at WJMM.com.
As prescription costs rise, many Medicare beneficiaries are having difficulty keeping up. If you or someone you know is finding it difficult to pay for prescriptions, the Kentucky Department for Aging and Independent Living State Health Insurance Assistance Program may be able to help. SHIP counselors can guide you to money-saving prescription assistance programs, including a program that helps pay for Medicare Part D plan costs for limited-income seniors. For more information, call 1-877-293-7447.
I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Isaiah 43, verse 25.
Welcome to today's encouragement from Our Daily Bread. Our reading, Forgetting Our Sins, was written and read by Amy Boucher Pye.
Julie and her husband felt sadness and regret when they learned that their daughter had been shoplifting. But with God's help, when she came to them weighed down with sorrow, they forgave her, and they helped her make restitution and receive counseling. Some months after the revelation, when their daughter made an offhand comment about how they might not trust her anymore, Julie wondered, what does she mean? She didn't immediately think about her daughter's offense because God had removed the sting of it from her mind. She had decided not to dwell in the past, but had asked God to help her forgive. In that moment, God gave Julie a taste of His goodness and grace as she experienced the love He extends to His people. In Isaiah 43, God told His people not to dwell on the past because He was doing a new thing. He also made the beautiful declaration, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God could choose to hold our sins against us, but because of His love and mercy, He doesn't. When we repent, He wipes our record clean. Although our forgiven wrongdoing may have a negative impact on our lives and that of others, God will never hold that offense against us. He will enfold us in His mercy and grace. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
I knew that what my parents had was real.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Elisa Childers shares about her parents' faith.
I knew that all those times we prayed together as a family and studied the Bible as a family, I knew they had something real. I knew they weren't perfect, but they modeled repentance. They modeled what it's like to love other people, to love God with your whole heart, with everything. And I wasn't willing to let go of that so easily. So to answer your question of the why, I truly believe that so many people, because there are a lot of people that have these very similar crises that remain Christians. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that what we're seeing happen with a lot of people who deconstruct and get rid of these beliefs is they've never really tasted that the Lord is good, as it says in 1 Peter. They haven't tasted the beauty of the Christian worldview.
Hear more from Elisa today at FamilyMinute.org.
For over 60 years, World Missionary Evangelism has met the physical and spiritual needs of people around the world. WME's food pantries in West Virginia and South Texas are located in communities where the need is great. For many, a visit to the food pantry is their last resort. Requests for help are rising because other food pantries have closed, leaving fewer resources. Please visit WME.org. That's WME.org. And join with us in meeting this crucial need today.
Life, 99 WJMM FM Keene, a service of the Christian Broadcasting System.